DW, the 77%.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this week's edition of the 77%, a show that gives you the chance to be part of the debate shaping the African continent. I'm Jen Nyinge in our studios in Bonn, Germany. As always, your company is really appreciated. Now, I'll start by asking you, what do you mostly do on the internet? Reading, chatting, or surfing? I'm pretty sure your answer is like mine, because for a majority of us, chatting and surfing are what we do the most. That forms at the basis of our discussion today, and we are focusing on why are the majority of people, especially on the African continent, not into the reading culture. Here in the studio, I have a diverse team to discuss the topic. And if you want to be part of the debate, head over to our Facebook page, DW Africa, and drop us your comment. Internet use in Africa is largely increasing, but how much has it contributed to Africans reading online? Africa has some of the world's best writers, and some of them, especially the young ones, are now publishing their work online to reach a wider audience. They also attend various global African book festivals around the world, like the one that was held recently in the German capital, Berlin. This year's theme was Transitions and Change. DW's Wanjiko Maura went along, and let's now hear how the event went down.
We are at the African Book Festival. That's right. And why are we here? Because we want to meet some of Africa's greatest writers, from Tsitsi Dagaremba to Ben Okri to James Murua. And this year's theme of the festival is transitioning from migration. Now, Ella Wakatama Alfu, who's a celebrated editor and now a publisher, said something that resonated within me. And she described this transitioning as the internal movement of being and becoming. And she tied this to the effect that books have on who you are or how you see yourself. Now, many people say that Africans don't read. And I look at them like, what do you mean? Because when you look at the numbers, in 2018, the International Publishers Association reported that the African book industry brought in $1 billion. Yeah, you heard that right. Indeed, Africans are reading. A Swedish-based company called Storytel actually estimates that the African book market will reach 5 billion by 2025. But this comes with a small caveat. Only if Africans are willing to embrace the digital publishing platforms. Now, this is a question I posed to James. How are African authors embracing the digital platforms?
First of all, I'm always a bit skeptical of people who say Africans must do something for something to happen, because Africans are doing these things. People are already embracing digital in ways they are not even doing it in Europe. The two problems in African for African literature is knowledge and distribution. So nobody can get any, like if somebody publishes a book and launches it in Rwanda, I'm in Nairobi, it's very hard for me to get it until I spend a lot of money. And then the second one is knowledge. Like, people are not, they don't know who the writers are, they don't know what prizes there are. So the problem for the audience, the consumer of this product, is that a lot of them do not know. Yeah.
Speaking of books, three books off the top of your head from 2018 or just 2019 that you recommend to our users to read.
That is so unfair. Three books.
Out of
oh, God. Three books. I'm going to start with Peter Kimani's Dance of the Jacaranda. It's a brilliant book. The book is about the building of the railway from Mombasa to Kampala. And there are characters based around that, you know, around that. So I'll go with Peter Kimani for prose. For poetry, I'm going to go with Koleka Potuma. She has a book called, a poetry collection called Collective Amnesia. And I love it. It's actually changed poetry in Southern Africa. If I'm going to go with the now younger audience, Story, Story, Story Come is a story for children. It was written by Maimuna Jalo, who is based in Kenya. And she did a call out for children's stories from all over Africa.
And we have another great example of a company that's taking advantage of the digital platform. Accor is a Ghanaian-based audiobook production company. Now, the incredible thing about this company is that they don't only produce content in English, but also in local languages. How amazing is this? What are you reading from the African continent? Until next time, goodbye.
Thanks, Wanjiko, for that. And if you want to get more of that, it's right on our YouTube channel, DW Africa. Malawian renowned writer and social activist Shadrack Shikoti is among hundreds of African writers who are in Berlin for the African Book Festival. He spoke about the challenges they are facing.
I have written several books, novellas, especially stories for children. But my first novel, which I consider my first novel, was published in 2015. It's called Azotus the Kingdom, which is a book on it's speculative fiction, so science fiction. For 31 years in Malawi, people were unable to write freely. There were actually writers who were arrested. One of them is Jack Mapanje. I think he was imprisoned for 3 years. Even in the recent times, who have been oppressed for speaking their mind. But we really look forward to a world where we can speak freely, we can write freely, which is what my novel is also about.
That was Shadrack Shikoti, Malawian writer and social activist. Let's now get into our discussion, and I must say the studio is really packed. Ladies and gentlemen, please introduce yourselves.
My name is Tony Joy. I'm from Nigeria. I'm here for the Global Media Forum. Back in Nigeria, I run a social venture called Durian. And at Durian, what we do is empower rural communities to become self-sufficient through transforming their local waste into a means of livelihood.
My name is Lawrence Afure, and I'm here in Germany for the Global Media Forum. And then I'm a farmer, and I work with farmers and young people in Nigeria. And so that's what we do.
And the lady?
Hi, my name is Tosi from Nigeria. I work with women, and we use trash to change mindset of women that are treated like trash.
Hi, my name is Charles. I'm from Nairobi, Kenya. I'm a journalist, print and electronic, but mainly electronic.
Good to have you, Charles.
Thank you.
My name is Remy Malé. I'm from Senegal, but I work for DW French Service as a radio and social media journalist.
Great. And how is it for the visitors here in Germany? Is it your first time, Tony?
Yes, it's my first time in Germany.
And how is it?
It's okay. It's really, it's different. It's different. The weather is kind of cold for me. There's a lot of nature. So it's really beautiful. Yeah, I like it.
And Tosin?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You like it?
Yes, and the traffic too. The way it flows, unlike Lagos, when we have traffic jam. Mm.
Wow. Yeah. And Charles, is it your first time?
The transport system is awesome. Yeah, it's my first time in German. The transport system is awesome, I must admit. Precise and effective. Bonn is quite an expensive city. I bought a croissant at about 1.6 euros. That's almost 184 shillings back at home. I mean, I'm used to buying a croissant at 70 shillings. So it's quite an expensive city. But I love the environment.
Of course, if you're coming from Africa, you'll find it a bit expensive. So
no, but I've been to other European cities. They're not as expensive as Bonn.
So Germany,
probably because of, I wouldn't say it's German because I've not been to any other part, but I think probably because Bonn, it was a capital city back then, so it still has a fever. I don't know.
Most probably. Let's now get into our topic. And for years, it's been said if you want to hide something very important from Africans, put it in a book. How true is that, Charles?
Very true. You know, this thing goes back to our culture. Look at the folk tales. African children never read folk tales from books. They were told by their grandparents, by the older people. Mm-hmm. That is the way they are cultured. Compared to the European situation, where does a child get stories? You know, read them bedtime stories. The other thing is priorities. I mean, is reading a book priority? Yes, if you want to pass exams. After that, you have to fend for life. So it's very true. We are not really, really that cultured into reading.
Do you agree with that, Tony?
As much as I agree with that, I feel like we're beginning to see a shift from that identity that we used to have. I know there's this generation of young people now who are trying to read, who are using literature as a tool for social change. So there are possibilities that there is now becoming a new movement of young people who are going to define the future. So young people who are readers who then define the future.
And what do you think, Lawrence?
Well, I would not say we're doing bad, but compared to developed countries, I think we're still behind. Like Tony rightly said, young Africans are reading currently. And because there's this shift around taking the future and taking our destiny in our hands, and now we understand that we need to case studies on how developed countries actually got to where they are. And these are documented in books. And this is why you find a couple of young Africans trying to find this history. And so we want to find out how we got to where we are and how we can move out of the mess that we have found ourselves. So Africans are reading, but not at the level at which developed countries are reading.
And Remy, how do we get out of this mess that Lawrence is talking about?
When you say that there's a mess, I think it's a bit tricky. The question about reading in Africa is a bit tricky. I wouldn't say that is a culture which doesn't read. I don't agree with that, because when you go to Tombouctou in the northern of Mali, there you find one of the oldest bookstores in Tombouctou. And you will see that in 2012 or 13, when the jihadists came there, they wanted to take that down. So I think that, yes, there may be a problem of reading, but we can't say Africa and reading like our enemies. I don't want to say Africa, is this a problem of Africa, but it's a problem of the world. Like, yeah, everything is going faster. People don't have time to do something, to read. Because a book, when you are talking a book, you are talking about sometimes 100 or 200 pages. And we are in a fast-paced world now.
So I still insist, Africans are not reading books. We are reading a lot on the internet. We are reading a lot on other platforms. But really, books? How many homes in Africa have a bookshelf? Compare that to what you have in the Western world, and you will find piles and piles. You will find books in toilets. Is that the same in Africa? The case my brother is talking about in Timbuktu. Just do a case study. Go to that area and ask yourself, or ask the first 10 people you meet, when did they last read a book? You'd be shocked. But as far as reading is concerned, Africans are reading now.
It's glad you pointed out that Africans are reading. But movies are watched more than reading books.
I believe, because of what my brother just said now, most people do not have books. And many houses, they have TV. So children will watch television because they don't have books.
But if you go to the movie stores, people buy movies in large numbers rather than
because it is books. Cheap. In Nigeria, you can get movies for 100 naira, 200 naira. You won't get books for that. In my house, I have thousands of books, children books. For my daughters, I have just two daughters, and they have read thousands. And now I've decided to shift the shelves into the community where children come to pick books, and they come. I work in a village. They love these books. I bought them by myself. So it's not that Africans don't read. If these children, if they have access to this book, they will read them. Also, we don't forget that children, they do what you do.
Exactly.
They watch you. Yeah. If you don't read, your children will not read. And now we are just thinking about survival in Africa. I go to the market, I go to my office, I come back to cook, I don't have time to read. So if you don't have time, buy them and hammer it. Tell your children, read. That was what my mother told me. She said, only education, only reading will take us out of poverty. And I read as if my life depended on it.
Interesting. So it seems that the children don't have role models to look up to when it comes to reading books. And as Tosin says, Africans are also facing a lot of challenges, so they don't have time to read books. Tony, you are a young person. Is there a shortcut that can change this trend?
No matter how challenging the situation is in Nigeria or in some African countries, we still watch movies. And so what if those books are transformed into movies?
Exactly.
Because unconsciously, we live on our phones now. So it means we work with our eyes more than our ears. And then we see those movies. We understand our culture through those movies. We understand the realities of our society through these movies. But these are books. It's not just a story. So a book of Ngugi wa Thiong'o probably is picked up and it becomes a movie. And then we're watching the movie in cinemas. Because that's the intent now. We want to all go to the cinemas.
Well, this is happening already. This is happening already.
No, but
because you find,
why I'm saying
when you watch a movie and you read the book, it's so different.
I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is this. There are many realities that we are facing in Africa.
I think I agree with you.
There are many realities we are facing
we
in Africa.
We can't turn away from such the change.
Exactly.
Change.
Such that if we talk about illiteracy, either a child is illiterate or not, they would see comedy. They would see a movie, right? So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying we should take away books. I'm saying let us also bring books. Yes, let's add to it the visuals so that people who are in places where they don't have access to books can probably see short movies, can probably have interaction with books in a different version. I work in a rural community, right? And then I figured out in my office there are books. They pick it up and then they drop it after like the first or second trial. They just leave it and then we have to encourage them to read. However, if you show them a story, they all pay attention with their whole heart. So I'm not denying the fact that there is this need for us to read. But I'm saying there is also a reality that we should also pay attention to, which is the fact that our generation, I'm young, I'm talking from the pain of my own generation. We are moving to a place of the ears, listening, and the eyes, seeing, as against the usual norm of picking a book and reading a book. There's a shift and we should pay attention. It doesn't deny the originality of the essence of picking a book and reading, no.
Tony says there is a shift and that should not be ignored. Remy?
I think you have a point that things should change in the way that we should try to make reading a little bit more attractive and we should think about ideas. But at the end of we are talking about reading, not listening.
What Tony is saying is there's a generational shift.
I understand.
Whether we like
perfectly.
It or not, we can no longer force children to read books. But we can find a way of influencing them to get knowledge, whether it's through reading books for places where there is no access to electricity, or to those who are in town setups. Like if I asked you here today, who would sit down to listen to news on radio for 15 minutes amongst us here?
Of course, no.
Nobody. I'll listen to podcast 3 minutes because of what you said.
Discuss it your first.
And there is something I want to point out, my brother. There is something about reward and humanity. We look at people who have read. What did they bring to our homes?
Exactly.
Then we look at people who are corrupt. Look at our army officers. Look at those who cannot even sign their names. They are making it.
Mm-hmm.
So many of this generation, they are discouraged.
So what inspires
them to
read?
So like reading or going to school is not really important. What is important is connection.
Because we can see our leaders. Mm. Our leaders in Nigeria, they are corrupt and they are very rich. Whereas our professors, they cannot even fuel their cars. So our children, they don't want to live like that.
But these things will change, right?
Yes.
The future is going to be different.
Amen.
And so a generation that does not read today, what becomes of the generation tomorrow? Because Africa, the way it is today, is going to change.
What is the way forward?
Read.
And create solutions to our immediate problems as at now, please.
Charles, a way forward. We know there are so many children who have no access to libraries.
Let's conserve the environment. Forget about printing books. Put the knowledge where people can access it. On phones, in movies. We don't even have trees to print more. I mean, to produce paper to write more trees. Let's put this knowledge in videos. Let's put this knowledge in audio. Let's put this knowledge where you can access it electronically.
Remy, video is the solution.
Let us know why we want to read. Mm-hmm. If it's to get knowledge we want to read and people don't want to read, then we should try to find other solution, other ways that can bring this knowledge. Because at the end of it is why am I doing something? So if it is knowledge, let's try to see how we can bring knowledge in other possibilities and other ways.
You know, she buried it in the ground.
A very interesting debate, and this can go on and on, but we don't have much time left. Thanks so much, all of you, for coming through, and I wish you a lovely stay here in Bonn.
¿Cómo te llamas, baby? Desde que te vi supe que eras pa' mí. Dile a tus amigas que andamos ready. Esto lo seguimos.
And with that, we come to the end of the today's show. You can listen to it again by visiting dw.com/Africa. For more content on the 77%, check out our YouTube videos on DW77% and let us know what kind of stories you'd like us to feature. From me, Jen Nyinge, and the whole team here in Bonn, Germany, it's bye for now. Yo quiero ver como ella no menea, me ve ese pum pum girl, tiene adrenalina.